It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're going to continue our butchering series here, building and butchering. So we thought we'd be able to do bras, shoes, and hats in the same episode, but we just really got off on the tangent,
on the bra tangent,
you know.
Oh my gosh, and it's 2020 today.
Yeah, well, it's been 2020 in podcast land few weeks now.
But for us... It's our first 2020. It's not the first one you've heard in 2020, but it's the first one.
The first recording session.
I had to write down 20 in my notes.
I see. I see. So.
Which is good that I did.
That is good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about shoes.
Yes.
Custom shoes for, like, whether it's an idea that comes out of your brain.
I mean, obviously, you can
or costume.
People can make shoes. Now, to have a really durable shoe that you've made, I really feel like you have to have a lot of specialized equipment.
You do, and it's fascinating.
Right. I mean, something like a house shoe, that's different. You can sew a house shoe together. Something that you're not going to wear into the weather, so to speak,
right,
or the elements.
Like, I mean... Anybody can wear whatever they want
in the
rain.
Right.
No, but I mean, they can wear whatever they want.
They can. I'm talking about durability here.
Yes, you're talking about like a real shoe. And actually,
right,
you know, Russell.
Russell Conte,
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. So he makes
metallic shoes.
And he makes like leather shoes. And
he makes them all. Sandals. He teaches making shoes.
Yeah, he teaches this in LA as part of like the fashion program, and his students all make these shoes, and they're like a men's dress shoe is what
right,
we're seeing.
Right,
like
it's
a leather.
Oxford.
Yeah,
yes.
An Oxford. There, thank you. I was like, what is that called? I sit down in front of this microphone and forget names, like things that I would normally like look up on the internet or something, but when we sit down to podcast, I forget them. So yeah, he's making like a real shoe with a sole, you know, with a last, with the specialty machines.
Has a tongue.
Shows it all. It's really cool.
Has holes for
laces
and
stuff.
All that kind of
yes,
thing.
Yes, so that's but okay, if you're gonna
and
like,
he has like forms.
Yeah.
Like there's forms and sizes and what
well, that's
size
a last. Okay,
yeah,
that's
okay,
what that.
Oh, okay,
I think that's
right,
what that's called.
I think you're right.
Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, I forgot you'd said that.
So if you buy,
doesn't take long.
But there you go. Yeah. Well, and the word "last," you're not used to
right,
hearing
using
and
it
like that.
That.
I posted some shoe lasts
because he'll say in the class, "We all found our last today."
Yes. So I've already figured it out. There were some on Etsy that were like purple.
Uh-huh.
You know, just, I mean, it doesn't matter what color they are. You mold the shoe to them. You know, it's not like
right,
the color matters. But I was like, that's what I want. I want a set of hat blocks, too, so I can pull felted hats.
Okay.
I want shoe lasts. I do want all the specialty machines for making shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you followed, okay, really getting off a tangent here, but there's a woman who does fur work who Rebecca Darling and her Instagram.
I know the name. Why don't I know? Okay.
Well, she's been a member of Here, and her Instagram is Darling Leather and Fur, mm-hmm. and she shows her specialty machines that she uses right. to make those things. Anyway, it's really cool. Okay, but if you're going to make a costume or you're going to do something cool to make a shoe that complements right. an outfit, you don't have to start from the ground up, right?
No. You can butcher a shoe.
You can build on a shoe.
You can alter a shoe.
Yes, absolutely. So this is where you also maybe want to keep some of your old shoes.
Old shoes. Shoes from thrift stores. Nifty shoes. People who have like really good shoes that you know that give them
away.
Or whatever before they send them to the thrift store or whatever.
Shoes that are like, you know what happens to shoes a lot that doesn't matter if you're going to recover them is like the heels getting scuffed up.
Something. Anything,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. You can save those shoes if you think you'll use them for something.
I have actually seen people make pin cushions out of shoes.
Yes.
Like take a,
right.
you know, a shoe, fill it full of stuff and cover it. You
get a pin cushion there. That's not what we're talking about.
No, I don't want to do
okay.
that.
Okay. So if you need to make, though, like in cosplay land.
Exactly.
Okay. If you want to make that pair of boots, I'm thinking, I can think of a few characters that have really characteristic shoes, like Glimmer from She-Ra. She has these like moon boot looking
right.
things, or really any like high boot, which normally would be like super expensive. Get yourself a very comfortable tennis shoe.
Yeah.
And proceed.
Some faux leather
or
vinyl.
That foam yep. that they use mm-hmm. a lot in
yep.
cosplay. It can really look like leather.
That's right.
Also, when people make cosplay stuff, they want to sometimes duplicate those exaggerated proportions.
Because usually it is an exaggerated proportion, so it's not that they're exaggerating it, but they're
keeping
just what you say.
The illustration.
They're keeping it.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're not making it, you're not paring it down to reality. You're keeping it
like
unrealistic.
Yeah, someone's
fantasy. You're keeping it
fantasy.
Yeah,
you're keeping it fantasy. Someone's knee-high boots, you know, in real life
right.
might not act the way that like a character's knee-high
right.
boots act. And people pay attention to that, like how the fabric
right.
moves and
right.
stuff. And that's why the foam is so nice, because it gives that
that's
sort of
right.
illustrative kind of quality. Like you're a walking cartoon.
Yes,
you know?
You are. You're a walking illustration
yes.
or caricature or whatever.
So that's why the foam can be so nice. And really, what you start doing, Mom, when you find that comfortable shoe is you put it on.
Right.
And you start draping.
It's like draping your building.
That's
whatever
right.
you want to call it there.
That's what you
yep.
can do. With a shoe, it's nice to start putting that fabric on your. So let's talk about building a boot onto a shoe. Okay. Let's go there. When you start to kind of put it on your foot or the wearer's foot, you can start to see where your seam lines might be.
Right. And what
right?
sort of shape you will. So, and you can drape. You can take
yeah.
something that is sort of drapey
mm-hmm.
and pinch it up. And like,
right.
you may be putting a dart there now, but you know that might need to be a seam.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So you can, you might decide to have a seam that goes up sort of like the side of the leg.
Right.
The side, you know, however tall
right.
your boots are or whatever. Maybe it goes up the side of the calf. Maybe you have a seam at the center front.
Center front's
of
one.
The boot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you have the top of the foot. Okay. Like,
right.
You know, where you'd get the sunburn if you were standing.
Yes.
Okay. At the top of your feet. Maybe that's a piece.
The instep.
Sort of. Like, no, your instep's, you know, like the arch of your foot, isn't that?
That would be the arch.
That's the arch. So that's the instep. Okay. Well, sorry.
I thought it was.
Top of your foot. I don't know.
Let me Google that.
Is that what you're going to do? Okay.
Well, the arch is on the bottom and the
instep
is on the
top.
I might be wrong.
I don't know. We're experts. Okay. But if you have your comfortable shoe, you can start to drape. And when you figure this out, like Mom said, you can kind of use a, quote, muslin fabric. You don't have to be folding up and, oh, that, yep, that's your instep. Ball of foot. All right, there we go.
Right. So the instep is the top of the foot.
It's
the opposite of the arch.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right? The arch arches and the instep arches.
Okay.
But the arch is up into the foot and the instep arches out of the foot, so to speak.
All right.
It's on top.
Good to know. So you may find that, so with your muslin fabric, okay, you know, maybe you use like a canvas or like a leftover, you know, scraps from something, you can start to drape and cut and kind of, you know, maybe baste with pins.
Right. So you're making yourself a pattern.
Yeah, you are making yourself a pattern. And I had to do this in school. We had to make spats. Okay.
Yes. That's how I made my first spats. I put my foot down
and started draping around it.
Drawing pictures.
Yeah, now, I was really stupid. And I made like gaiters that went up to my knee.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I was stupid is because you didn't have to do that. And that made a lot more work.
Right.
And I put multicolored snaps up the side of them, you know, like never have an occasion to wear these at all. But I... Not something I need. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I kind of
I draped it around my leg.
When we talk about cosplay, I think, weren't we like cosplaying before people were cosplaying?
Yeah, we definitely.
It was like,
we didn't call it that.
And we didn't pick, but it was like, I know about this thing and maybe I can make it because you can't find it any place. And
well,
we were like, make it.
Okay, being in like the theater.
It's theater.
It's kind of like a precursor or just a different environment, you know, than cosplay, I guess. But you said it. I think you hit the nail on the head a few episodes ago when you were like, it's Halloween any time of year, you know.
Well, and I think the other thing about cosplay and theater versus cosplay and maybe, okay, so costuming is this big, huge thing, right?
Right.
So you have theater, you have the movies, you have dance, you have all kinds of performance costumes, right?
Right.
So the thing about theater and cosplay, I think that makes them sort of close cousins is it doesn't have to be the real thing. It only has to mimic it and look it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be the same weight. It doesn't even have to be the same material.
Right.
Like it doesn't have to be metal. It just has to look like metal.
Like metal. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Where in the movies, sometimes
you have
because you got a closer shot, it may need to be more the real or authentic.
Right.
Now, some people, like RinFest, some RinFest people want authenticity.
Yeah.
They'll go for authenticity, that kind of thing. But, you know, nobody's using whalebone.
Somebody out there is using whalebone. They're going to email me now.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
let's
know.
Let's go back to shoes.
So what I'm saying, yeah, okay. But this is where shoes come in.
Yes. So you can build upon a shoe. I said a tennis shoe, a dance shoe.
Any shoe.
So if you
need, I have built on any kind of shoe.
Right.
But I can't think of one like I haven't.
If you are doing something, let's pretend you're costuming for a dancer.
Right.
Or like, you know, for a ballet.
Right.
And somebody needs a special shoe. You can build
on the shoe that they want to have.
Yes. Yes. And make it so it's, they still have all the range of motion and all the grip they need and everything.
And a lot of times that's similar to like what you say, a spat.
Yes.
Except a lot of times you've attached it. Mm-hmm. When I think about a spat, it's more like something that just lays on top of
it's
the shoe.
Not attached,
right. It's not so permanent.
So you're going to drape your fabric on. You're going to draw lines. You're going to cut it out. You're going to kind of put it together. You can make a pattern, you know, ta-da. Some of the foam out there doesn't have to be like sewn in a traditional manner. You can kind of butt the seams up together and zigzag it, but then some of it out there you can sew like normal fabric and then it just stands up and
has
a lot of body, so that's great. But the other thing you can do with shoes is you can cover them,
and
right?
Here's where glue comes
in. Lots of glue. With glue here.
I even hesitate to say what kind of glue. There are so many glues.
Yeah, you may test out.
There
and see
are
what works.
So many glue. You know, the glue you use for the paper wigs. What was that? 507?
Okay,
five,
it was an E6000.
It was a
and
number.
F in it, though, I think.
Okay. But, you know, there are so many glues. And some of them are quicker drying, which is a good thing.
Sometimes.
You know, quicker drying it strong, but you need ventilation and you have to be 21 or 18 to buy them sometimes.
Oh my God.
E6000, I think, is a standard that a lot of people might know about, at least in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it does take some drying time.
Uh-huh.
And again, Mallory's mentioned this before in other projects, some glues are solvents to some materials.
Yeah, so you may not know everything you want to know about your shoe, like you might know about your fabric. Okay, so keep that in mind. But definitely, when we cover a shoe, you have to glue. Okay, like you can't, you probably.
Well, I have sewn on two things like cross trainers, like a Nike tennis shoe or something. I have sewn things onto them. It's difficult.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes I've used the combination of sewing and gluing.
Right, right. You can sew part of it, but you're probably going to end up gluing somewhere.
Right.
On that.
Absolutely.
Now, you covered a pair of, like, ballet flats for me.
If I'm going to cover a pair of shoes with fabric, with just whatever fabric, say, to match the dress, or I want a certain look, or whatever, the big trick there is do it on the bias.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because you can stretch it to the shape.
Yeah.
So, basically, I take a big oval of fabric and start laying it on the shoe, make sure that it fit. You know, I can start to slit it, like, you know, around the top of the shoe, and then just cut it and start, you know, folding it over and folding it in. And when you get down to the sole, you're kind of just tucking it in. You're trimming and tucking it in and smoothing it. And that, because it's on the, you know, you've got a good part of it on the bias, which would be like
at the toe,
mainly the toe, right? The toe of the
toe
foot,
and the heel,
where you have the most to cover,
right? And the most
because
curve.
The side of the shoe is kind of on the straightaway,
right? And the toe will have the most curve there, you know, the side, like you said, the straight.
The side is much more, like I said, on the straightaway. So I have never had any trouble covering. Now I have had trouble with what the shoe was, like if it was like a patent leather or a vinyl. It was harder to take, you know.
The glue might not.
Right. And maybe I had to futz with it a little more, whatever. And then I also want Wonder Clips or clothespins or some sort of clip to clip around the edge of that shoe.
Okay,
you know.
Well, let's take a quick break and let's come back and talk a little bit more about covering shoes.
Okay.
Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
You can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the So Long and So Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, I wanted to bring up, you covered a pair of, like, ballet flats for me once.
Are you talking about the brown ones?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
I know, where the fabric is even.
We just used some of
and
it.
And I already had that
it's
fabric.
It's been on national television.
I have had I had that fabric for, like, 20 years before I covered your shoes. It must be, like, 40-year-old fabric.
You know, when I brought it to Iowa to use.
Uh-huh.
they made me cut the selvage off because it had the brand name on
it. Right. Did it have
but
a year or anything?
The woman was like, oh, this is such good fabric. That's such a good designer. Blah, blah, blah. I can't remember who it was. But anyway. Okay. So you covered these shoes.
It was vintage.
What I want to say is, if you're looking at a shoe and you're wondering how to cover it, the shoe will have seams. Okay.
Yes.
So a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times a ballet flat, it'll have a seam at the back center and then at the... Is that the arch? Or
it's
is that
the arch.
That's the arch.
Usually, like, oftentimes the inner arch.
Yeah, so you can see, oh, this is made of two pattern pieces.
Right, two pieces,
and
yes.
It is probably a good idea to follow that. You could do more pieces if you want to, but don't try and do all one, maybe. You can try.
The ballet flat is easy to do one.
Yes.
Because it's such a low, shallow shoe.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, take a cue, though.
Right.
From
oh,
that.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then I want to talk about finishing edges on covered shoes. Okay. So you were talking about Wonder Clips, and so I kind of like was like, oh, let's take a break real quick.
Okay.
So if you've got that kind of inner, you know, from the back center to the arch, you know, that piece, and then you have the other big piece.
Right.
Okay. So we don't have the specialty machines that allow us to sew into a shoe.
Although, I have sewn.
Hold on.
I have sewn that edge.
No, that's not what I was going to talk about.
Go ahead.
You mean the edge around, like the opening of the shoe?
I mean through the shoe, yeah.
No, but what I was talking about, what I'm talking about is the seams between those.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No.
So, like, tell me, Mom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would glue my fabric to the smaller, you know, quote, pattern piece.
So that
first.
Small piece that's on the inner,
the inside,
goes to the inside heel and arch. Glue that on first.
Yes.
And you really, I've never had to finish that piece that I put then. So I lap it over.
You don't turn it? That's what exactly what I'm asking.
I don't. I lay it flat. I don't want the bulk. I'm better off. The seam's not going to show, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. If I make a nice, clean cut. And I'm
and
using so much freaking glue. The glue acts as
it finishes
a seam seal.
Yeah, right. It finishes the fabric.
And it's not seen. And now, I don't know where you're going to wear these shoes or what you're going to do with them. But, you know, durability could be your question maybe. I don't know. But you can re-glue them too. And you probably have more fabric. You can patch them up if you have
and
to.
And I would glue and then trim. Right? You glue, do you tuck down in between the sole and the upper part? And then trim, or do you, you know?
Well, I kind of glue and get down to that seam or that space, and then I start cutting so I know exactly, because I want enough to tuck in there.
Right.
Now, I'm using tools too, okay? I'm using dental tools. I'm using
craft
sticks. I'm using
hemostats. Yeah, so you're talking about Wonder Clips. We're talking about dental. Okay, dental tools are great.
Dental tools. Anything that... butter knife.
Okay.
A spoon. The thing about a spoon, like, especially like a stainless steel type, like tablespoon, is you can do what I call burnish with it.
Yeah.
You can take the back of that spoon and smooth things out. And your fingers don't always do that as well. Or the glue gets on your fingers, and then you're getting it on every place else if it's coming through the fabric. So the back of the spoon is a nice trick.
Yeah. So we are talking about distorting fabric.
Yes.
I mean, really here. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear with everybody.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times leather shoes, they look so smooth and everything. And that's because you get that last, which is the mold for the shoe.
You get the last. And you are also, you have, I don't know if they call it burnishing, but they stretch and rub and stretch and rub.
And move it around. And they, you know, they get it wet.
Right.
And then they leave it on there so it shrinks into the shape.
Which
you
is
know.
Same as what how they, you know, a lot of things we do where we form shapes, we're wetting and drying and wetting
and, like
and
the
stretching
the
and
hats,
mess,
right?
All
yeah,
of that. All of that.
Pulling the hats.
We are being the boss of the fabric.
That's right.
Or the material or whatever.
So you are going to, like, you know, all the time we're talking about sending fabric through your machine and, like, not pulling on it. It's like, no, you're pulling it. You're gluing it to death. You're tucking it
in. And that's why you're taking advantage of this bias. So think about the bias line going across, like, the front of the shoe.
Like an X.
Right. The other thing is if this fabric has a obvious pattern, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, there's a big rose and a couple little roses and a big rose. Uh-huh. Or there's a big hunk of plaid and then tinier types of plaid or whatever, you know, however it goes.
Right.
You need to look at those shoes and you need to probably cut mirror images.
That's a good idea.
Unless you want your shoes to look uneven. Now, that's a possibility, too. But what I'm saying is I should be able to look down, and both of my roses more than likely will be, say, pointing inward, or both pointing outward. Now, the fabric might not always allow that.
Right.
But come up with something that looks like it has some symmetry on each shoe.
Covering also can come in handy if you are wanting to change the shape of a shoe.
That's true,
okay,
too.
Okay, so, like, if you get, I'm like, thinking a high heel, but I want to make it look like the high heel's on fire.
Yeah.
Okay, and I want it to, like, I want to cut into the shoe to make
you
it look like
cut
flames
into the shoe,
are licking.
Right.
Okay, so you've cut into
or
your
you
shoe.
Or you can add on to it.
Well, sure. Right. I'm trying to come up with an idea here this whole time. But this is also where covering can come in handy.
Right.
So that you can then finish off those
those
raw edges.
You're covering the right. You're covering, you know, the anastomosis there.
There
you
go.
Whatever you put it together.
Okay. You've also, so Wonder Clips are great. Mm-hmm. Any kind of clip.
Right. Anything to, you're going to have to turn the fabric around the opening of the shoe. You will clip and turn, like say you do a curve on a collar or something like that. Unless it's spandex, which is really nice, because if you cover with spandex,
well, shoot, if you cover
it, it'll just go right in there. Sometimes it's really nice. But that's not always what you want. It's not always what you're going to get, whatever.
Right.
And then a lot of times I have finished that part of the shoe off with a piece of bias, or what I really like is a flanged piece of piping too,
and that's what
and you'll
you
have
did.
Like a piece of piping going around.
So I wanted to bring
it's
that
really
up.
Cute.
So mom did that on those brown shoes. Right. I don't, you know, those. Okay, you did that for me like in middle school. So I'm sorry, I do not have those anymore.
Right.
I'm pretty sure my feet grew as well. And they did. I wore them quite a bit, and they did start to wear. And some of the fabric started to come off after about like a year.
Right. Now you can do things like paint over them.
Yeah.
Like put a some sort of varnish or acrylic, you know, you could do that. You could seal them.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to say, so you use the piping to finish off the opening of the shoe there. So when you glue your fabric on, you're shaping it around and you curl it over to finish that edge and you clip it in place. Do you let it dry and then trim a little bit, or do you pretty much trim and then clip it in place? You know, trim
clip
the,
what in place?
Like clip the edge of your fabric in place over the shoe. Do you leave any extra during the drying process? Or
I'm at a finish point. I've glued all the way up to my opening, and then I will start to clip a little bit at a time and roll under.
Place the one. Oh man, trim and clip are two words that can really have different meanings.
I know.
We've talked about this
so
before.
So trim can be like trimming with the scissors, or
it can mean adding decoration.
Or adding the decor. Yeah, the decoration you want. And then clip. I know. All the time when I say clip when I'm sewing on live and stuff, and I say, you could use the clips here. Now, if I'm saying clips and people get clips with that S on it, they know what I mean. But if they just hear clip, you know, or I say just clip instead of,
You
know.
Do you mean cut, or do you mean put a Wonder Clip on there?
Anyway,
that's fun. Okay, so.
And they're even spelled the same.
Right. And so you turn that fabric over, you trim it, you secure it in place with a clip. Okay.
and it depends. Some of it may glue down and your glue may be fine and your fabric may turn real easy. And you don't need a lot of clips.
Right.
Which are things that hold it down.
Right.
Wonder Clips, or I'm using Wonder.
I
hate to use Wonder Clips because it could be any clip.
Yeah, you know, this is a place.
Binder Clips. Now, when you're clipping too, you want to make sure that you don't leave clip marks.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So sometimes you may clip for a while in place and go back and look and make sure you're not getting little indentations you're worried about.
Or if you want to put something in between your clip and your fabric, like a little piece of, you know, if you've got.
But you have to make sure you're not gluing it on.
That's right.
Sometimes this is where like things like wax paper come in handy.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if you're going to put trim around that edge, you don't have to worry about it at all.
Right.
Depends on if the trim is like the piping didn't go over anything.
No, it just.
But if maybe I was putting like some braiding or.
Yeah, so piping.
Or rhinestones.
Piping or bias going around that edge, or this is where you can incorporate like a little strip of leather. Absolutely. And if you have ever tried to cut, I know there's lots of different types of leather. Like, I'm very aware of this. But if you've ever tried to cut a thin strip of leather, you know how difficult that can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. It starts to stretch on you.
Yes,
it
leather is stretching.
Leather, most of the time, what you buy.
Those cows, man, they need that stretch. They need,
yeah, I'm sure I would be stretchy too if someone made leather out of me. That's getting into a different podcast. But anyway, so you are going to run into that stretchiness if you try to cut a thin strip of leather. But the flanged piping is so great.
Oh, it looks finished. It looks nice, right?
You use a really small one.
It was a tiny one. Itty bitty. Did I make it or did I? I wonder.
Maybe that was ready made. Okay. But I don't know.
Do you remember what color it was?
It was gold. Because the shoes were this, you know, variegated brown swirly fabric with actually black like lines on it. And then there's actually like a scene in the movie Fantasia.
Where you think that's in there?
I feel like it looks like that.
That fabric.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That happens to me all the time. Oh, that looks like a certain fabric. Yeah.
And so, anyway, and then it was this gold sparkly piping. But once again, it's not like mom turned it back. Like, we break the rules of sewing here. We're not always. Mm-hmm.
This is where you need to know the rules of sewing. Right. So they can be broken. All right. Again. You need to know what bias and how bias works. The other thing is when I'm clipping around there like that, I don't worry about fraying because most of that's on the clips lined up on the
The
bias and it's glue. And, you know, once they're in place, they're going to stay there.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. So the other thing is this is a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
It's never the same. You're always going to work with a different shoe.
And this is something where if anyone is threatened by this, don't. Because just try.
Right.
Just try.
You can always rip it
off. I mean.
Right?
Yeah.
You always spray paint
it. Well, I guess, it's funny. I think about the days of when I started doing stuff like this and there was no internet available to me. There was an internet. It wasn't available. Of course, there wasn't any information on it either. But
people that weren't prioritizing
I didn't
shoe
get
covering
to go look.
Tutorials.
I didn't get to go Google, you know, or Bing or whatever and say, how would you cover shoes?
No one uses Bing.
I don't.
No one uses
Bing. Okay, good. So, you know, I didn't get to go do that where at least I got a starting place. I had to figure out my own starting place.
Right, right.
Or go to the library, and the library is just like Google. You go to the library, you go down that black hole, and all of a sudden you're bringing home a book to do everything, including building an igloo in the middle of the summer in the Midwest or something. Because you're like, oh, this is interesting, this is interesting, this is interesting. So, I guess what I'm saying is don't get afraid.
Yeah,
agree. And if you don't have dental tools, go into your kitchen. Or I'll tell you what, kids Play-Doh tools.
Oh yeah,
stuff like that.
Zelda just got
stuff.
Some air dry clay.
Yeah,
and it came with the coolest tools.
I know.
I was like, I want those.
Sharpened. Does everybody like me pick up an extra set of chopsticks when they buy sushi at the grocery store? You know, you can put those in the pencil sharpener. There's all kinds of things you can do and make your own tools.
Oh, putting them in the pencil sharpener.
Oh,
so smart.
We never talked about that before.
No,
there's a whole bunch around
here.
You just never noticed.
You've never told me about that, Mom.
Didn't tell her that in the last 30 years.
But, you know, a spoon like implement is nice.
Yes. Yeah,
something like that.
Spoons are good.
This is also something where people be like, well, can you do a podcast on covering shoes or whatever? And I feel bad that we can't cover every eventuality.
Well, I
sometimes.
Guess the thing is
but we can't.
Well, I think the other thing is yes, we can do a podcast on covering shoes. Can we tell you everything we know? Can we relate every single experience? What, you know?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I'm trying to think.
That's a process. It goes on and on.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a fabric that maybe wouldn't be good for this. And what I'm thinking.
Well, I don't know if I'd cover a shoe with tulle, but I did cover one with silk organza.
Yeah, you did. I think the fabric that might not work for this are bonded fabrics with an inflexible backing, okay? Like,
yes, if you didn't have any stretch at all, like if they were too stable.
If it's a fabric, now I say a bonded fabric, right. Felt's a bonded fabric, and felt would be a great thing to cover a shoe with, right. Because generally it is flexible.
It is flexible.
But I'm looking at cork over right. there. Might not be the most flexible. It depends, though.
There are cork shoes.
Oh, of course there
but
are.
But I don't know how they do that.
You just need, right. but you need more flex. You need more right. seams, maybe. Maybe or, they're getting it or, wet. It,
right.
You know?
Or if you are, if you for some reason want cork, or there's, I mean, you can use those things for embellishments too.
Yeah.
So you can take a strip of cork and strap it over the shoe.
Okay.
Things
and then,
like that. If that is something you you're trying to match or incorporate or whatever.
Yes, and then of course I'm kind of thinking along the lines of like covering a ballet flat, but like mm-hmm. those you know espadrille kits that you can
yes.
make at home. I think the cork would work for that, just because
right.
it's such a simple pattern.
That's
piece.
Right.
So, once again, no hard and fast rule
right.
there. I think that fur would be super fun, also super forgiving. You're not working with that
right.
hard edge. That is where you can get into, like, monster stuff.
Right.
I think it's a little early to be talking about this, but Zelda is obsessed with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, so we might be doing that.
And so there's Spider Woman, although
well, now
Zelda,
she has the car.
Zelda yeah. likes to call her Spider. Yeah, I know. We could just write it down the Spider, but she calls her Spider Girl. Anyway, it's Gwen Stacy, and she has green, like teal ballet shoes on in her spider costume. And no, and it's like the perfect, if she wants to
I
be
want
this,
those.
No, if she wants yep. to be this, it's perfect because it's black leggings, it's a black and white raglan shirt with a hood. Like, it would be the coolest costume
right.
to make. Anyway, so I hope she sticks with this. But
so
we'll,
ballets,
we'll see.
Leather ballets.
So I was thinking about these teal ballets, and we've got that teal mm-hmm. knit over there, and that would be so perfect. And I would probably, though, since it's Halloween and sometimes it can be very cold, I might go buy her a pair of black shoes.
Right, and put it over it.
And even not... Yeah. cover the whole shoe, but just give it that ballet flat
that
look,
ballet
it's,
look
and it's got
somehow.
Ribbons up the calf
right.
you know, like a point shoe almost
right.
So that is another option. So you know, keeping I might be keeping a lookout for something like that as I go shopping, you know.
So we're hitting on ballets here.
Sure.
So I don't want I would be remiss in not speaking up about ballet shoes. So
speak up.
I have dyed many a ballet shoe.
Yeah,
you want a purple ballet shoe, you want a blue ballet shoe, you want a green ballet shoe, they dye. They dye with Rit dye. That's all I've ever used. That's, you know, commercial multi-purpose dye. You put them in the water and you let them soak and they dye.
Okay, I guess there's a bunch of people on the internet telling people that, like, you cannot dye polyester or you cannot dye
leather.
You can't.
Okay, so you can dye anything. And some things might not take on dye. Okay, I have dyed furniture.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay,
yeah.
I have taken dye and stained furniture with it, like Rit dye.
Yeah.
And stained furniture with it. It was blue, everybody. I wanted blue furniture. I got blue furniture. I stained. So I did my room when I was a teenager. I had blue furniture. So anyway, dye imparts color, okay? It doesn't hold on to it. It imparts.
Right.
So here's the deal. If I take a piece of polyester, I take a piece of cotton, I take a piece of silk, I've taken four or five different types of fabric,
right.
and I put them in my Rit dye. And why I'm saying Rit dye is because Rit dye has more than one type of dye.
Right.
Okay. It is meant to, it is a multi-purpose dye. Here's what's going to happen. I put them in the same solution for the same amount of time. I treat them exactly the same. They will not come out the same color.
Yeah, and we've covered that. I mean,
I just don't want anybody to be hesitant.
You
can also dye with a Sharpie and some alcohol.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
There's all kinds of, you can dye with a beet. Okay?
Avocados.
Yes.
Make things pink. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Light pink.
Blueberries.
Avocado pits.
Blueberries
too.
Make things funny colors.
Okay, so anyway. You can totally dye shoes.
Yes.
Go
and,
to town.
But now, the other thing that we have done with ballets, and I don't know if Mallory remembers this, but your sister went away.
Did you put it in pencil sharpener?
No, I didn't do that. But just look at everything as a tool. You never know what can be a tool.
I put the ballet shoe in the pencil
Something
sharpener.
Can be a tool. Well, you made, you.
I know.
You
I,
embellished your sister's ballets for
yeah,
her wedding.
I know.
And you actually sewed through the leather and sewed beads on them.
Were they leather? They weren't leather. Yeah, they were fabric, weren't they?
No, they were leather.
Okay. Yeah, no. That's
They were white leather.
The one last tool I wanted to talk about was hemostats. So we've been talking about glue and clips.
I thought I tried to mention those in there.
You did, okay. But I want to say hemostats can be good if you do want to sew through.
Yes.
The
because you use them as a needle holder, which they are also used for in called that. There are things called needle holders that look just like hemostats.
Okay,
basically.
So what I'm saying
you do.
They have
the curved nose usually.
Okay, is you put the needle into the hemostat, you hold it, and you use it to puncture the shoe.
Right.
Okay, then you release, and then you use it to pull it through the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because your hands, if you, like, sometimes...
Either you won't be able to do it or you'll ruin
it. Or you'll hurt your hands. Yeah, exactly. So that's how you use the hemostats.
Right.
If you're going to apply beads.
There are shoes that are already covered with fabric.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you remember the shoes that I covered for Lindsay for her prom dress.
Yeah, because I beaded those.
Uh-huh, you did.
With
I
the hemostat.
I did.
Yeah, okay. And then he, no, I
so
think,
we
or
picked
I did
up
some of them.
Just the fabric. We didn't have to go through whatever the man-made material was. They used. So I covered part of them in fabric. They were strappy sandals. So some of the straps were covered in the fabric of the dress. Some of them were not. But then we did also add some beading.
Right.
And we just picked up the fabric part to bead. We
Maybe
didn't go
I didn't
through.
Bead
I
those.
Think I did them.
Okay, I thought I feel like I have beaded a shoe though like that. So
well,
I don't
no
know.
Doubt.
I don't know what it was
I,
for.
I believe that. The other thing you can do is you can glitter shoes. Okay, which is you slather on your
glue,
and then you roll them in the glitter, and you can glitter the bottom of the shoe.
Boop, boop.
Or you can paint the bottom, especially, you know, when they're heels.
Yeah.
You can see the bottom of the shoe. So you can decorate the
you
underneath.
You can Louboutin your own shoes.
You absolutely can.
So, okay, if you're going to paint some shoes, let's pretend you want to paint some shoes. Like you want to paint the
bottom.
Now
bottoms. I
want
to go like paint shoes.
I know. I'm getting really, I'm like, let's go get some shoes. I haven't really bought shoes in a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to paint like the hard plastic bottom of the shoes, it's a good idea to rough them up.
Rough them up.
Just like with any other
little
furniture.
Sandpaper, right.
Yeah, get a little fine sandpaper, rough those up, paint them red.
Also, if you're trying
you're
to cover a
shoes.
Vinyl shoe or a patent leather type shoe, anything that seems a little slick,
rough that
go
up.
Go ahead and see if you want to rough it up a little bit. It might
Here,
work better.
How much does a Louboutin shoe
cost? Oh, I have no idea.
Because like Derek's.
Guess what? I don't have to know. Oh, Derek's, are you going to a wedding where they're going to be worn?
No, I was at a wedding where they were worn, and I was like, that's, $1,200. I said $15, so I was wrong. But ZD and I can tell you that you just need some sandpaper and some red paint.
We were watching something my husband and I cannot remember. It was something about, you know, a handbag, a pocketbook, a handbag, right, a purse, and he laughed. He said, well, that, you know, I said, oh, no.
What
they
did he
can
say?
Be...
You didn't finish your sentence.
I can't remember
he
what
about
he said.
The price?
He said something, like the line in the movie or the story or whatever it was.
Bag?
I can hawk this,
you for
know,
that much.
And get by a car or something. I can't remember what it was. And he's like, huh, that's real. I go,
no.
I go, I'm telling you, she can hawk that for like $25,000. So I did. I looked it up and I showed. He goes, really? I go, really?
Branding.
Yes, yes.
Branding.
There you go. Buy yourself a purse for $30,000.
Hey, if it makes you happy and no one's going hungry in your family, I mean.
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it makes sense to you.
Well, you know what I do? I just want to say this. I listen to some podcasters and they like have a Patreon page, like our membership, you know, but they have a Patreon page and they're like, it's just to cover the podcast costs. You know, it's not like we're buying a Lamborghini. And I thought, I hope that so many people like you that you can buy a Lamborghini. Like, I don't care if you buy a Lamborghini. I don't know. I mean, it's not like they said, everyone, please give us $400,000.
For nothing.
Yeah,
for doing nothing for you.
Right. They have, like, membership levels like we do. And I thought, well, what if, like, a million people liked you and you wanted to buy a Lamborghini? Like, don't minimize, especially women, you know, I feel like.
Well, she has given her time and devoted it to that podcast. Like, and then she is passing it to you. I don't see any problem with giving her some money.
Yeah,
you
can have a Lamborghini. And I don't care. I mean, you know.
No, after you give the money to them, it's up to them what they want to do with it.
So anyway, I would be really happy if they got a Lamborghini, if that's what they want.
So how long have we been talking about
shoes? Just 40 minutes, not too bad.
Ooh.
Okay, but I think this has been good. There, okay, there are, like you said, lots of glues. Mm-hmm. A spray glue can be nice because it gives a very even application. That's true too.
And I will tell you, there's some neat spray paints out there. So
spray glues or spray paint?
I'm talking about spray paints, okay, too, all right, got that it. Have glitter in them.
Yes, yes.
And have, are they pock? You know what I mean? They make little marks and stuff.
And this is where wax paper can come in handy. You can line the shoe.
So what you have to do is you need to stuff the shoe so you're not spraying the inside of the shoe. The reason being, it can make it stiffer, and or if you put your foot in there and the foot sweats or something, the paint will start to flake off on your foot.
No good.
I mean, you really don't want the paint in the shoe.
Yeah.
But there are some rad, there's also glow-in-the-dark paint.
I know.
So, I know. There you go. And okay. Mallory's really into glow-in-the-dark paint.
I'm into glow-in-the-dark paint. I'm into it.
And that is another thing when you go to, after you put this fabric or whatever you do to cover this shoe, any kind of embellishment you can think up that you can make stay on.
Right.
It included. Yes. It's there.
Okay.
It's
well,
fair game.
I think I just wanted to bring that up. And of course, if you're doing all this spraying and stuff, you could do it outside, or you need to line your space with like newspaper, or do it inside a box or something like that. But I will say you've been using some of that real strong glue for your Ariel costumes, and some of it got on the floor, and
we have a laminate floor.
Okay,
so I would not say like if my floor was carpet, it would be a good idea that some of it got on there.
But some of it got on our like laminate floor.
Right.
Actually, a piece of paper got stuck to it. And I just sprayed Windex on it, left it for like 3 minutes.
Right.
Wiped up with a paper towel, and all of that came up. So
I would suggest, honestly, to anyone, if they have a craft space or a sewing space and they plan on doing stuff like we do, the laminate floor has proven itself over
time.
It can get slick.
It can get slick.
Especially if it gets dusty. It's like,
But, or you put a piece of tool,
piece of fabric that you stand on and slide.
Tool I've flown across
but
the floor.
But as far as cleaning, oh my gosh, it's been a godsend.
It has
and
been nice.
I mean, you know, I've gotten paint on it that all I've done is like chipped up with, you know, my fingernail and things like that.
No, that
was it. I would endorse a laminate floor.
Absolutely. Maybe we need to contact somebody for the podcast sponsorship.
Okay.
Well, thank you all for listening. We'll post some pictures of some shoes we've covered, and we hope that you tell us about any shoes that you have covered. You can find us on Instagram.
Or made.
You can find us on Instagram at SoHereCom. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.